From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia should not depend on soybean imports for good. Public Works and Public Housing Ministry expedites construction of ministerial houses in new capital Nusantara. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Minister of Agriculture Syahrul Yasin Limpo emphasized that Indonesia should not depend on soybean imports for good. As reported by Antara, he stated on Friday that the government was planting soybeans in Tanggamus Regency Lampung as a joint effort to end dependence on soybean imports. He also remarked that the planting of soybeans in Tanggamus is part of the local government and the trade ministry's efforts in reviving domestic soybean production. The Directorate General of Housing and Ministry of Public Works and Public Housing has accelerated the construction of ministerial houses in the new national capital Nusantara. The progress of the construction of landed houses for the position of ministers at the capital has reached about 10% higher than the planned target of 8%. Director General of Housing at the Ministry, Iwan Suprianto, in a statement issued in Jakarta on Friday, as reported by Antara, informed that at least 36 units of the landed ministerial houses will be built by the ministry on plot 104, which has an area of 10 and 6 hectares, and plot 105, which covers an area of 9.1 hectares in the central government core area. The Ministry of Communication and Information is conducting a public test to review the implementation of embedded subscriber identity module technology in Indonesia, as quoted by Antara, according to a statement issued by the Directorate on Friday. The review conducted by the Telecommunication Directorate of the Post and Informatic Directorate General will be open until June the 16th. The public test for the module implementation review is intended to obtain inputs from stakeholders in a bid to improve the review materials. The Bangka Belitung Islands Provincial Government is preparing Satam stone craft as a special souvenir for delegates of the ASEAN Blue Economy Ministerial Level Meetings, Seju, to take place on Belitung Island from July the 1st until 4th. As quoted by Antara, Acting Governor of Bangka Belitung Island, Suganda Pandapotan Pasaribu, noted in Belitung Friday that he has visited Belitung Satam stone craftsmen to prepare to feature a special souvenir for the upcoming ASEAN Blue Economy Forum GeoVenture. He also remarked that the international activity will be attended by 300 multinational delegates. The province is expected to make the most of the event to promote its tourism, beauty, and typical craft. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Singapore and Australia will launch a new $20 million on $13.2 million programs to support small and medium-sized enterprises from both countries to jointly develop innovative green products. As quoted by ChannelNewsAsia.com, under the Go Green Co-Innovation Program, Australia's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, as well as Enterprise Singapore, will set aside the sum to support small and medium enterprises from both countries over the next 4 years, according to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. The officials of India have said that at least 207 people are now known to have been killed and 900 injured in a multiple train collision in India's eastern Odisha state. As quoted by BBC.com, Odisha Chief Secretary Pradeep Jena conveyed that more than 200 ambulances were sent to the scene in Balasore district. One passenger's train is thought to have derailed before being struck by another on the adjacent track late on Friday. It is India's worst train crash this century. Officials say the death toll is expected to rise further. Commander of the United States Coast Guard, Admiral Linda L. Vagan, underscored the importance of Coast Guard collaboration in helping strengthen maritime governance in the Indo-Pacific region. This was noted by the Admiral more recently, and she also stated that the U.S. and some Indo-Pacific countries have shared goals in maintaining maritime security. Hence, the U.S. Coast Guard works to strengthen relations with partners across the region. She added that the sharing common goal of free and open Indo-Pacific based on the rule of law allows countries to enforce their own sovereignty. It also provides certainty in maritime governance. The Admiral emphasized the importance of collaboration with partners in the region to solve the challenges they had faced together. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The first news comes from Bekasi Regency, West Java. The Bekasi Regency Government, West Java, launched an industrial tourism program to develop the regional economy as well as an educational media for the community. Acting Bekasi Regent Dani Ramdan said Monday in Cikarang that through the industrial tourism program, students and the general public can see how the work ethic of industrial companies produces high-quality products that can serve as examples of discipline. He said there were already 7 companies to work together to support the industrial tourism program, and it would continue to be increased to at least 20 companies this year. The company operates in a number of sectors, including automotive, food, beverages, as well as heavy equipment and fashion. The Bekasi Regency government also provides a digital platform in the form of an internet site that can be accessed by the public by providing a variety of venue options for tourist destinations. The next news comes from Denpasar, Bali. Buddhists in Denpasar, Bali took part in the Pindapata ritual by donating to monks who walk around to welcome the Vesak 2567 Buddhist era celebration, which falls on June the 4th. Head of the Karaka Sabha Vihara Buddha Sakyamuni Sanjaya Gunawan said Thursday this activity was held again after being absent for 2 years due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Sanjaya explained that the Pindapata ritual is a tradition of giving alms to monks ahead of Vesak celebration. Donation in the form of ready-to-eat food, dry food, and drinks. In Denpasar City, the monks perform a ritual walk with a route that starts from Jalan Gunung Agung or Gunung Agung Street and ends at the Sakyamuni Buddhist Temple. The latest news comes from Bogor, West Java. The Bogor Regency Government West Java prepared as many as 541 traditional tumpeng or big rice cones for the celebration of the 541st anniversary of the city of Bogor at the Pakansari Stadium Cibinong Bogor on Sunday, June the 4th. Chair of the organizing committee, Zainal Ashari in Bogor Wednesday said, the series of celebration with the theme Completely Harmoniously Prosperous has been going on since Wednesday, May the 31st, beginning with a pilgrimage for group to Pondok Rajak Hero Cemetery, Cibinong Bogor. The highlight of the commemoration took place at Pakansari Stadium on June the 4th. It was enlivened by the Anti-Corruption Bus Roadshow with the theme Jelajah Negeri Bangun Anti-Korupsi, or Exploring the Country Building Anti-Corruption, initiated by the Corruption Eradication Commission. That was news from across Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April the 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners. From Indonesia to the world.
Thank you.
We begin today in history with the event on June 3, 1947, when the first Indonesian President Sukarno inaugurated the Indonesian military. Indonesia, at the first time of its existence, did not have a military unit at all. The People's Security Agency, announced by President Sukarno on August 23, 1945, wasn't the armed forces as an official military organization. Therefore, through a government notice dated October 5, 1945, the People's Security Agency was changed to the People's Security Force, or TKR, on which later its name was changed to the People's Safety Army. And it changed again to the Indonesian Republican Force, or TRI. In its development, the Indonesian government's efforts to perfect the national force continued to run, while fighting for upholding the sovereignty and independence of the nation. Uniting the two armed forces, namely TRI as the regular army and the People's Struggle Agencies, on June 3, 1947, President Sukarno officially legalized the establishment of the Indonesian National Armed Forces, or TNI. Let's move to another event in 1965, when the first time an American astronaut walked in outer space. The 1960s became the era of the rise of the space world. The United States and Soviet Union competed in exploring outer space. One of the achievements of the United States occurred on June 3, 1965, namely when astronaut Major Edward H. White II successfully walked in space for the first time in history. He is an astronaut who succeeded in doing this historical footing. About 1,642 kilometers above the surface of the Earth, Edward White opened the door of the Gemini 4 aircraft and began to step out of the capsule. He was outside the capsule for about 20 minutes and felt walking in the air vacuum. We end today in history with the death of Ayatollah Khomeini on June 3, 1989. Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini was the leader and one of the Marja Shiites who led the Iranian Revolution. In November 1964, for triggering the action against Shah Pahlavi, Ayatollah Khomeini was arrested. Then he lived in exile, surviving 14 years. He led the Iranian Revolution in 1979, who overthrew the last Shah of Iran, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, and ended 2,500 years of the Persian Empire. Ayatollah Khomeini, who was born on September 24, 1902, passed away on June 3, 1989. He breathed his last after suffering 5 heart attacks within 10 days. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
We'll be right back.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs attends EEF to discuss trade cooperation. A delegation from the Indonesian Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs attended the 2023 Eurasian Economic Forum, or EEF, in Moscow on May the 24th and 25th and discussed economic issues and trade cooperation. They had various business dialogues with member countries of the Eurasian Economic Union. Quoting the ministry's official website econ.go.id on June the 1st, Deputy for Food and Agriculture Business Coordination, Musdalifah Mahmud, said that in the dialogue forum session, they explained Indonesia's great potential for export to Eurasian Economic Union countries. The products include palm oil, rubber, coffee, tea, cocoa, and their derivative products, as well as coconut fish products, fruits, and vegetables. Musdalifah Mahmud disclosed Indonesia opened the widest possible opportunities for economic and trade cooperation for the Eurasian Economic Union member countries, namely Armenia, Belarus, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and Russia. On the same occasion, Rizal Afandi Lukman, special staff of the Coordinating Minister for the Economy for Strengthening International Economic Cooperation, explained that Indonesia is currently focusing on developing non-traditional markets for export destinations for superior products, and the Eurasian region is one of the main destinations in Eastern Europe. The delegation of the Indonesian Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs is also actively involved in various other forums, including Business Breakfast, Eurasian Economic Union Indonesia, Indonesia-Belarus Business Forum Business-to-Business Meeting, and Moscow Export Day 2023. In these forums, the Indonesian delegation expressed full support for efforts to increase cooperation between Indonesia and the Eurasian Economic Union member countries in various fields and sectors of the economy and trade. According to Rizal, Indonesia fully supports the implementation of the Indonesia and the Union Free Trade Agreement by accelerating the completion of the negotiation process within 2 years. The Eurasian Economic Forum is an annual Eurasian Union Business Forum consisting of Russia, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Belarus, and Armenia, and is held alternately in member countries. The second meeting took place on May the 24th and 25th with the theme Eurasian Integration in Multipolar World. It was being held in conjunction with the Supreme Eurasian Economic Council. Russian President Vladimir Putin and four heads of the member states attended the event. That was my Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. VOI listener, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder takes you to Papua, which has a lot of interesting marine tourism spots. One of them is a beach tour on Harlem Beach, which is located in the village of Tablanusu, DP Pre District, Jayapura Regency, Papua Province. Harlem Beach is the prettiest one in Jayapura, Indonesia. Harlem Beach is a long stretch of white sand and green hills as the backdrop of the beach. With clear water, visitors can see the colorful corals from the surface of the water. This beach is perfect for those of you who like diving. Coral reefs, sea fish, and other marine life can be found when you snorkel. The waves of this beach are not too big because the beach is a bay area. There are many coconut and sago trees that grow on the beach, making the atmosphere very shady, accompanied by a slow breeze. At Harlem Beach, visitors can also enjoy tourism activities, such as sunbathing, fishing, and even playing beach volleyball. Harlem Beach also has a freshwater pool, which is about 7 meters from the beach. The condition of this area is unique because a beach with salt sea water is directly adjacent to a freshwater pool. In fact, many tourists who visit this beach often rinse their bodies in this freshwater pool after being satisfied to play in the sea. In this pool, where the water is very clear, there are also several types of fish. The local people say the pool was formed naturally hundreds of years ago. Harlem Beach has great charm, especially at sunset. The breezy wind will be the perfect companion when enjoying the sunset. The situation on Harlem Beach, which is very quiet and calm, actually makes it attractive for tourists. For those of you who want to travel to Harlem Beach, you must first go to a pier in Papua, known as DP Pre, which is about 48 kilometers from Jayapura City. After you reach the pier, you can then continue your journey to get to Harlem Beach location by using a boat with a maximum capacity of 10 people. For the cost of the round-trip crossing, you have to pay from 300,000 to 400,000 rupiah, or from 20 to 27 US dollar. For those of you who are looking for peace and quietness, Harlem Beach is the right choice for your holiday destination. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Stripes and lonely, hiding, wishing, waiting. Well, I am here. I am. I'm standing still, stare at you only. Everything has bloomed. All I want is just to stay. You can't shake me. I will never dare. Forever I will stay with you.
just to stay. You come shake me, I would never dare. Oh no, let go.
Listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOI listener, today's edition of miscellany talks about Indonesian artists who collaborate with French fashion brand. Indonesian artist Noviadi Angkasapura has made the nation proud on the international stage. Together with a fashion brand from France, Le Maire, the artist who was born in Irian Jaya held an exhibition entitled Jujur Sabar in Paris, France from May 17 to July 6, 2023. Images by Noviadi were also collaborated with the existing Le Maire Spring-Summer 2023 clothing collection at the flagship store. Noviadi revealed that he was only working on pictures, while for the exhibition, it's represented by a gallery or dealer. In the exhibition with Le Maire, his team cooperated with gallery representative from the Kevin Morris Gallery in New York. Le Maire accepted the invitation to cooperate because of one of the important things, namely the easy process. Le Maire is known to only buy photographers of the artist's work, then print them on top of fashion designers. Listeners, Noviadi's work will also appear as the sole icon of the exhibition fashion book themed Jujur Sabar in the soft opening of Le Maire's new building in Elsevier, Paris. Noviadi revealed that the key to the strength of his work lies in being original, new, different, and not just following all the existing trends. According to him, the artworks produced are enough to speak for themselves for their existence in the center of world art and fashion. Well, listener, that was Miss Eleni from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared. Who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Lupakan Cinta by Rosa. The song Lupakan Cinta, or in English means Forget Love, was released on February 10, 2023, popularized by an Indonesian diva, Rosa. The song itself was composed by Mahalini and Tintin. Lupakan Cinta is one of the songs in Rosa's album entitled Another Journey, New Beginning. The song tells about a woman who wants to get back into a relationship with her boyfriend that she loves so much. Unfortunately, the man has actually had a new relationship with someone else. This condition makes the woman try to forget her love. Well, listener, here is Rosa with Lupakan Cinta in the keroncong version. Enjoy!
Ini kini
Voice of Indonesia.
Of Indonesia.
Bersama lagi
listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.